We are indebted to each of these, giving of their time, their expertise, and the areas of music, and using those for the Lord's glory. None of what we have just heard described tonight is of the nature of performance. The choir is not performing for us. The orchestra, even the specials, are not performing for us. They are not designed to please us. That is very difficult for us to think clearly and accurately on that point, because virtually every other instance outside of church, when music is going on, it's supposed to please us. That's its very purpose. That's not the purpose of any of the music here. Now, we're not trying to displease people either. It is just that the reality, biblically, is that whether we are pleased or not is not the point. In fact, it is totally irrelevant. The whole point is pleasing God and enabling us as a congregation. Every aspect of the music ministry is all designed to enable the congregation to better give God glory. We are to be thinking along with the musicians as they are singing or playing. What they are presenting in front of us is supposed to encourage us to think about the message, what it is saying about God, the truth that is there that reminds us of what we have already read some other time in Scripture, and to challenge our heart, to channel our devotion to the Lord in a more direct, a more meaningful way. In a sense, all of us are, in fact, performing for God. Even there, the word performing almost sounds like it's pretentious. So we have to somehow take that aspect out of that word. But we are the doers of worship. God is the recipient of that. And every aspect of music in our music program should help us in doing what we have come here to do when we worship God, and that is to give Him glory. Music, of course, has the additional benefit a verse that I think was Tim read for us tonight, and that is mutual edification. While we are singing truth or hearing truth about God for His glory, that very truth can also be encouraging our hearts, challenging us, building us up in the faith. So both of those effects are biblical. We are striving to focus on both of those, but our key purpose is glory for God. Let's continue in that theme then, and I'd like to present briefly a biblical basis for what we just heard that we do here week after week. What we do is always because we have found a basis for it in Scripture. So we're going to look at each of these categories of music that we've already considered and look for the biblical basis, and we're going to start where music ministry always starts. The foundation of our music ministry is our congregation. Why is that? It's because as a congregation, we are the ones responsible to be giving God glory in worship. Here then is where it all starts. The congregational singing we see in a number of places. I've been highly selective in picking just a few verses out of God's Word. But you'll see how much is in each of these passages of Scripture. Psalm 92, 1 through 4, you see that the emphasis here is on singing, singing praises to God, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night. What's the focus there? You see how it is truth about God? See how that itself is edifying and gives glory to God. There's our purpose, and we do so by singing, as it mentions in verse 1, as well as to the music of the lute and the harp and the melody of the lyre, instrumental accompaniment, all to enhance the beauty of what we are presenting to the Lord. The more beautiful the sound, the more honor God receives. And the basis for all of that, why should we do this? What is our our spiritual disposition, it is all because of what God has done for us. The basis then in verse 4, "For you, O Lord," here's why we do that, "for you have made me glad by your work." We have come to praise God for who he is and what he has done. "At the works of your hands, I sing for joy." There's our motivation. We don't come to a service expecting the music to generate joy for us. Music can do that, but that's not an adequate basis for praise to God. God is the only adequate basis for praise. Because of who he is, because of what he has done, we are already filled with joy, and the music gives us a vehicle to communicate that joy to God in praise to him. Another verse is Psalm 95, verses 1 and 2. And the additional aspect we get from this is very clearly this is to be a group activity. It is an invitation to God's people to come, to gather together. Let us sing to the Lord. This is a corporate ministry of a church family. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving, a frequent theme of the Psalms. Joy and thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. It's one of the requirements of truly giving God honor. Not only is it necessary to have joy in the heart prompting the song, but the song itself must express that joy. There is no room for a somberness, a dullness, a lack of passion for what we are doing. Very easy for us to go through the motions of singing without doing what these verses require, which is why we always begin our services asking for God's help. Doing it our way would not be enough. It must be with joy and with gratitude together. Now that was an exhortation, an encouragement. Come and let us do this together. Psalm 100 puts this more directly in the form of a command. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. We are all part of that command. We all must participate. Grieves my heart on occasion, I don't see this very often, but on occasion to see someone here in the worship service, for whatever reason, not participating. You might say, well, you know, sometimes someone has a sore throat. Well, sometimes I have a sore throat. You can't tell, can you? Even if I can't produce very much sound in singing, this doesn't happen very often, I'm still participating in the song service. You can still do something. And it doesn't, this is the one aspect of the music ministry in which there is no audition. You ever notice nobody ever stands at the door and has you hum a few bars to see if you can carry a tune, and then it gives you a pass as to whether or not you can sing with us in the congregation that day. There is no such requirement because the biblical standard, I'm convinced this is stated this way very precisely, very deliberately, all that is required is that you can make a joyful noise. If it doesn't qualify for any better term than that, it's okay. You can join us in producing this sound, and the benefit is that there likely are enough other people who can sing well that you're just going to blend right in and you can have a meaningful part giving praise to God. This is an important command, one we must take seriously and participate in regularly. Congregational worship also is the subject here very clearly, as it says in Psalm 149, to praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the godly. It's when God's people assemble that we join together in this congregational singing. And don't be concerned about the phrase, a new song there, as if somehow that would require us to have brand new music every time we sing together. Because this very psalm, Psalm 149, as well as all the other psalms in Scripture, qualify as that new song. He doesn't mean it needs to be new as nobody's ever sung this before, but it is new in that nobody really understands this, nobody really gets this message till they've been regenerated by the power of God. That's what makes the song new. Ministry of Music also includes the choir. Dan read a portion of Scripture, and we're going to go back to a portion of that portion as well. But as a biblical basis for the choir ministry, you could look at Psalm 4 or dozens of other psalms. Psalm 4 is just the first time this occurs, and there's a subtitle right underneath the title of the psalm. It'll say Psalm 4 and then to the choir master with stringed instruments on this occasion, with other accompaniments on other occasions. Many of the psalms were written specifically for the choir. And we don't know that that meant exclusively for the choir. It could be that it was written to the choir so the choir could learn it, and then the congregation could learn it from them. But that we have this regular reminder that the choir is a part of God's plan. Music director asked me not too long ago, do I think that a choir is required? And I knew why he was asking. I had just been with him in his service and realized he didn't have a choir. It was a fairly new church. They didn't have enough musicians to have a choir. And his concern, I think he already knew the answer. You do the best you can with what you got. You don't have enough people for a choir, then the whole congregation is the choir. But when God provides individuals with sufficient skill in music that you could isolate them into a smaller group like a choir, where somebody who can't sing just might stand out and be a distraction. We have no concern about distractions for lack of ability in congregational singing. But the choir is God's plan to use those that he has gifted in some way. Now, to be a choir member, you don't have to be highly gifted. You don't have to be operatic, indeed. But we do have to know you can at least carry a tune. And Dan will have a brief audition. He does his best to have that audition be as unintimidating as possible. But there are just some things he needs to know about those that would like to be a part of the choir. It is apparent from Scripture, being a smaller group, that it is God's design that these individuals do have an appropriate level of skill. We see that, and here's part of that passage that Dan referred to from 2 Chronicles 5, just some excerpts from verses 12 through 13. It was all the Levitical singers arrayed in fine linen. Apparently, they were aware that they were in front of people and wanted to help communicate their desire to give glory to God by what they were wearing in front of other people in this worship service. They were arrayed in fine linen, with cymbals, harps, and lyres, and they stood east of the altar with 120 priests who were trumpeters. It was the duty of the trumpeters and the singers. I was sure Dan was going to make a point about the order there of priority, but he resisted that urge. It was the duty of the trumpeters and the singers to make themselves heard in unison. To sing in unison here doesn't just mean they're all singing the same note, but they are, whatever they were singing together. That doesn't happen by accident. That is the result of practice. They had skill to start with, the Levitical singers. There were lots of Levites, but only some of them were among the Levitical singers. It was the ones that God had skilled in that area. So skilled musicians and accompanists as well. Here accompanied by four different named instruments. Other passages of Scripture identify many other instruments as well. So there's a wide variety of appropriate instruments to accompany, to enhance the sound that God might receive even greater glory. And then Nehemiah 12, this was a special worship service. This was the dedication of the city wall of Jerusalem after Nehemiah had directed its rebuilding. And for that special dedication worship service, there were the sons of the singers. Again, that notation indicating that these sons of the singers were those who grew up in a home where music was, where they learned it and had some inherent skill. And they gathered together from the surrounding districts surrounding Jerusalem. For the singers had built for themselves villages around Jerusalem. Why would they have done that? Why was it important for the singers to be in fairly close proximity to the place of worship? Because they had to get there for rehearsals. Okay, now they still had to commute. They didn't live at the center of the city at the temple, but they lived in the vicinity so that they could come, because they would have to come earlier than people would for the worship service, and a close proximity would have enabled them to do so. Not saying you can only be in the choir if you live nearby. You can be in the choir if you have a car and can get here at a time and commit yourself to being here, as Dan emphasized, being on time and making good use of the rehearsal time that God provides. Verse 40 of that chapter indicates that both choirs of those who gave thanks stood in the house of God. Both choirs. Here's evidence that they had multiple groups. Perhaps there was a main choir and then a smaller group, an additional group. We don't really know all the various purposes. I think Scripture leaves this open for us. But this well may be here an opening for the ensembles, smaller groups, giving us greater variety of opportunity to praise God. It doesn't just have to be the whole choir. You can have an octet, either from the choir, or we can have a small group in the orchestra. And that greater variety, all for God's glory. Then the orchestra also has a biblical basis. We've seen this a couple of times already, both from 2 Chronicles and from Nehemiah, but let's just look at one psalm. There are many other psalms that identify the role of instrumental music and orchestra as well. But notice this exhortation: make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets, the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. This would also be somewhat restrictive in participation. You need to know how to play these instruments. That requires effort. That's practice. That means you have to have an instrument. But those that God has gifted, has blessed in that way, have a special opportunity to enhance our opportunity as a congregation to give glory to God. A man one time tried to explain to me why he had dropped out of the choir. It was actually a time in which that particular choir really needed his help. He He had an excellent voice, and he left the choir not as well prepared, not as well balanced as before. And here was his explanation. He said, recently I just imagined myself standing before the Lord at the gates of heaven one day and having him ask me, why did you spend so much time going to choir rehearsals week after week when you could have been spending your time much more profitably helping others and people in need? And he looked at me as if to say, so there you have it. I said, well, one other thing you might want to consider, that perhaps the Lord's question might be a little different. It might be, why weren't you willing to use the musical gift that I entrusted to you to give me glory? You found other things that were more important than that. Now, as Dan mentioned tonight, and Darcy mentioned as well, we have many musicians. We don't have room for all the musicians to participate all the time. As it is, with 70 choir members and only 70 Sikhs, we need at least 3 people to be sick every week. Okay? We have purchased some new orchestra chairs, and I'll be getting those up here. One of the several benefits to those chairs, as you'll see, that they are ergonomically designed so that our instrumentalists can really do their best, especially those that have, well, I think even the strings. I was thinking the winds, sit up the right way and so forth. But they're also somewhat narrower, so we're hoping to get a few more seats up there because we have more people that would like to participate. I'm not saying that if you have music ability, you must be participating in the choir or the orchestra. But if you sense at any point that there is a need for your skills, I think you should ask yourself why God gave those skills to you. There isn't anything more important than giving God glory. Let's just finish up with some practical application to this biblical basis. I've put together a participation chart. And I thought here, I'm using the word foundational. The congregational singing is foundational to our music ministry. And I thought, well, maybe I ought to put that on the bottom and build this thing up. And I thought, no, let's start at the top as the most important thing. This is the core of our praise to the Lord. And you have an important part of that no matter what music ability you have. Jan and I had the opportunity to get better acquainted with Isabel, our new member, just this past week. And she gave us a little more background as to how she found our church. She is staying with a host family and does some work for that family, taking care of the children, and lives with them, and then is here just, as I said, to learn English better. She knows it real well already. She went with that family when she first arrived to their church and was not comfortable. And I asked, well, what was it like? And she says, well, it was very dark. There was only light up on the platform. And went on to describe, I knew right away, what kind of service that was. It was one that does not emphasize congregational participation. Why are the lights focused on the platform alone? Because many churches in our day have the idea that that is where the focus ought to be. That is where the real worship comes from. Well, we keep the lights on the whole auditorium during our congregational singing because this is where the real worship comes from. The role of those on the platform, whether it is the preacher or the song leader or the choir director or the orchestra or whatever, the role of those up here is to better enable the congregation to praise God. The congregational singing is the heart of our music ministry. From that, those that are part of the congregation, if God has given you a level of skill, you can become part of the choir. You must be a member of the congregation to be a part of the choir. And if you are a member of the congregation and you have an ability in a musical instrument, then you can become a part of the orchestra. But this goes now down one level further. Those that are part of the choir and the orchestra can also participate in the next stage of range of opportunity, and that is what we sometimes call specials. You can have vocal specials and also instrumental specials. I have heard of one other way to refer to this. I haven't gotten entirely easy with it yet. It doesn't come to me naturally. I still have to stop and think about it. But on the principle that those that are in the choir, in the orchestra, or in an ensemble, or singing in a group, or singing a solo or a duet, because they have to rehearse, the congregation does not rehearse, they have to rehearse, we could call this prepared music. Those with the skill and the commitment to prepare these pieces to enable us to worship God better. So I don't know. I'm not issuing a decree here. And it wasn't my idea. Others have thought of this. I'll have to just see if I can get more comfortable with that. But I appreciate the idea, though, that putting the word special at that level could create the wrong impression. What is most special? Most special to God and the emphasis of God's word is what all of us have the opportunity to participate in. A prayer of all of us, part of our music ministry. And I get to be a part of that group because technically I'm the overseer of all of them. The prayer of all of us, as well as the choir and the orchestra, the instrumentalists at the keyboards, our prayer is that this really will be on a weekly basis. Every song that goes on here at Cornerstone will, in fact, be ministry. Ministry first to the Lord, giving him the honor he deserves, and ministry to God's people, encouraging them in their walk with God, directing them in their praise to God, providing music that sticks with us to the degree that all week long we can recall the tunes and the words that go with them, that can encourage our hearts to continue all week long to give him honor. I'd like to ask you to make that your prayer as well. Since you are not a spectator of our music program, you are a participant in the music program. It would be appropriate for you to join us in praying that God would make this effective to accomplish these purposes. Closing song tonight will be hymn number 23. We'll close then with this thought that our God is in fact worthy of all this effort. None of this is wasted because our God is so great. Let's stand together and we'll pray first and then sing together of this worthy God that we serve. Father, we are grateful for the privilege you give to us to know you, to come to know you better as we open your word together day after day, and to give you honor for who you are and what you have done. Thank you, Father, for entrusting to us the privilege of music ministry, that we can all be a part of this. Thank you for the musicians that you have provided that can further enhance our efforts to give you glory. And thank you for those that are such capable leaders that can help direct us more effectively. We pray that all of this might accomplish our purpose of giving you glory, because we are convinced you are worthy. So we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.